Well, it could be a supernatural issue. It could be, well, something about immortality. It could be something about power and holding control over others. It could simply be bloodlust. We're going to talk about vampires tonight and the vampire craze and why millions are involved, at least in the, well, popular television shows. Can I tell you something? I met a vampire. Well, they'd say it like this, vampire. This is a true story, believe it or not. Years ago, we were engaging evangelism at a kind of a halfway house where a lot of folks on the streets and those who were transient and those who were just out there were in a kind of housing project. I was told about a guy that was a vampire, and I was inquiring about him and asked the friend of the friend of the vampire, can I talk to him? And so eventually I got Steve's phone number. Steve was the vampire, so I call him on the telephone. We talk for a while. I ask him, are you a vampire? Well, of course, he says. How do you know you're a vampire? Because at a Wiccan, some kind of Wiccan meeting, some kind of witch turned to him and by spiritual inspiration spoke to him and said that he was a vampire, that he was 486 years old. I challenged him and I said, you're 486 years old? He got angry with me. He said he would meet with me, but that I would have to watch it. Because if I did meet with him, there's a possibility that he may jump on me and bite me and want my blood. I talked to Steve a little longer, and we made a time to meet. He would only meet after midnight. So after midnight, there I am knocking at his door in this complex. Steve would never come to the door. He wouldn't come out. I never got to meet the vampire face to face. So I guess I wasn't in danger of him biting me. Would have been an interesting evangelistic engagement. There's a vampire club in Cleveland. There's vampire clubs that have been old all through Europe. A lot of folks that want to be the old stories of the vampires. I mean, you can look at all the new movies out, the bigger screen films that have been out, Underworld, and pretty amazing. The genetics involved, the reason for the bloodlust, the desire for living forever. In some cases, the agony of living without dying. But what's it all about? Well, we're going to get into it tonight. This is Shatter the Darkness Live, the radio broadcast, on a Thursday night, October 21st. We are, in the midst of a providential hour. May God bless, engage, and minister to you appropriately. Whatever the needs are right now in this live hour for the thousands of you that will download later on. Again, the blessing of the living Christ. That's the motivation behind this mic. The Spirit of God does seek and summon. So if you're a believer in Christ, may this living Christ that we share our faith together in as brothers and sisters, well, let's bless him and serve him and know him and be willing to speak of his majesty, his love and his grace. There's blood involved at the cross, a power that no Satanist really understands, that no vampire would really understand yet, and where the demons understand it, fear it, and are vanquished, defeated, and ousted because of it. Glad to have you here if you're a seeker. Glad to have you here if you're military or a scientist or a vampire. Welcome to the show here on a Thursday night. We're here every night, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. live. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And there you're going to see the theme for the week. It is the visitation, communication, and contact with the spirits. Well, what do they want? And so we've got the ones up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the extra hour on Wednesday. Here we are tonight. You can always get the archives if you don't get it live. I want to tell you tonight, I'll be interviewed later on this evening 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Tom Horn, Raiders News Network. And then later tonight, we're going to be doing a recording, and that will come out. We'll post it later on for another radio talk show host, and we look forward to that at 9:15 tonight. So we invite you to be a part, take a look at the series that were involved that I think are some of the most important things we've ever done. Dark rituals, dark powers. Does the church need to know about it? Yes. Believers, yes. Do we need to understand the off-the-scale volume of satanic rituals and other kinds? The ramping up of the dark side, there's reasons why the spirits on that side, well, they have to have avenues, doorways to get over here to this side. So that's what it's about. And listen, the clash, the spiritual war, maybe you are still in that war in the sense that you're on the other side of the fence. Something's keeping you from crossing over and engaging the living Christ, experiencing the forgiveness and the love and the cleansing and the power and the clean, holy presence of God coming into your life. Well, I want you to know that the word of God, the word of faith, the summons of God, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ knocking at the door of your heart. So if you're reconning the show, great. Want you to know that in the providence of God, the message is for you. And again, the greatest invitation that I really think is in the Gospels is, John's Gospel, chapter 7. Take a look. We're going to go on here to some news for a few moments, and we will come back to I got about 6 or 7 points tonight concerning the supernatural side, the mysterious side, the living forever, the bloodlust, the feeding on others. We're going to talk about all of this vampire craze, Twilight, and all the rest here in just a moment. News, well, let me tell you one bit of news. Got a letter, email, actually, and I appreciate it, no names, but from Columbus, Ohio, a listener tells me they've been listening and they're checking into the courses and materials, and they are they're glad, and they wanted to report that in their area, well, the dark side, the stuff, it's going on. It's happening. Now, on the alert phone line, we have a Shatter the Darkness alert line. You can read about it on the front page. You can go down to where it says daily, weekly update, and you can read about what it's all about. And if you want to bring awareness to the underground stuff, satanic rituals, if you want to blow the whistle, if you're a victim, and you want to be able to tell without, anonymously and without being, your name being broadcast. So just you can call in, leave a message. We may use the live audio, but we'll never reveal a name nor will anybody else get a hold of these messages. So we invite you to call, and nobody's going to answer. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to call you back. But just leave the info if you'd like to. We have one of those callers that have done this. I got it today. And I want to say I deeply appreciate. Sounds like a very brave brother in Christ, Long Island. And the message there was that there is, because we're talking about the satanic rituals this month, we have already told you, take a look at the satanic ritual calendar online. From the 13th to the 30th of this month, well, it's going to be looking for children, 7-year-olds to 17-year-old girls, abduction of children, the getting, acquiring of victims. That involves them hunting and looking. And listen, we've sat down with people that used to do this. They've explained how they do it. They've explained how they use coven kids to go to a playground, go to other places, and then eventually invite other kind of straggling kids that nobody's watching, invite them over to the van or to where they're at. Well, then the abduction occurs. In our area, we've had two. Well, our friend from Long Island says there's lots of it going on, that they've had children with attempted abductions. And this individual says it's happening just like we've said and according to the satanic ritual calendar. Now, the big ones are coming. Sexual rituals, blood rituals, human sacrifice. The 30th, 31st, of course, is my big, big, high, unholy days for the underground. Now, the Wiccans and the Druids and the New Agers and many others, they're going to do a lot of things also. There's going to be a lot of charging of objects and spiritual engagement, lesser type spells and rituals and, well, all kinds of things. Engagement with the spirits. On the one hand, the dark side, the spirits themselves, it's as if they amass at the border, at the veil, pushing and lurking and seeking how they can get across. On the other hand, there's just literally more doorways opened up everywhere during this time. And the numbers of rituals, they don't stop at the 31st. They go on to the 1st of November, human sacrifice in sexual sacrifice, sexual rituals and so forth. And then satanic revels on November 4th is when, at least on the calendar, things stop. Now you're looking at just the calendar and understand underground rituals go on every week, not just what is listed. So that's the alert to continue to remember in your area. We're trying to do some training with that series on dark rituals, dark powers. You know, if your area feels spiritually dark and oppressive, and if you really sense the work of the enemy, if you listen, how do you detect if satanic rituals are going on in your city? We go over this. We've spent years and years and years engaged in it. And so we go over some of the markers of what it's like. Now, you have to get the series because I don't have time tonight to go over it again. So go over the series, and if you want to deal with it in your city, if you want to deal with the underground, if you want God to lead you supernaturally like he did Ezekiel 8, well, that will happen if you're prepared. Become as strong as you can. Know your, be aware, be alert, know your authority, have the armor of God on, but it all comes down to action. If believers have everything, all the knowledge, but still sit around, then what manifestation of the hand, the power, and the grace, and the might of God will occur? Both the unleashing of prayer, intercession, unleashing the authority of Christ, and the work of the great mission, evangelism. That will bring enormous, enormous demonstration of the hand of God and of what God is doing. God wants to work through your life. If you're a believer, that's what it's all about. Tonight, Thursday night, October the 21st, we have the Vampire Rage Seduction. Is it bloodlust or something else? So again, welcome. If you're brand new to the show, we're here again 5 days a week. We have other projects and broadcasts and interviews and so forth, even weekend for iTunes on our Preemption Broadcast Podomatic. So there's a lot of things. Take your time on the website, and there is the book, The Black Awakening. Take a look at it. Take a look at the video that Chris White made for us that gives an introduction to it. This night, this is Russ Dizdar. This night may, listen. It will be a supernatural engagement. I have no doubt that whether live right now because what we've listed and or later on, even in Europe, even in Russia, there will be those that are involved in the bloodlust, in the desire to be, in the sense that they have called to be drawn into being or becoming a vampire. A lot of blood involved in that, but much more. And I want to go over some things. Now, I was listening to a YouTube video of a lady that says she's a real vampire. She drives a hearse. She has a casket. She dresses in all the dark stuff. She talks about the excitement of drinking blood, what it does for her. She didn't want to do. She's not involved in sex. She is lusting after and energized by blood. Now, she says she doesn't drink the blood of children or animals. But of those who are willing to give up their blood. We had folks around here, they drink blood. People that we've engaged, one person wore a little vial of blood around their neck. Sean Sellers, who eventually shot and killed his mother and stepfather, years ago involved in darker forms of Satanism and getting into the underground, well, there was a bloodlust there, drinking of blood. Something about the drinking of blood. You know, I watched some of the clips. I, you know, looked a little bit at some of the Twilight stuff and all the stuff that's out there as a rage, you know, as we look into it. But we've engaged people that have the desire and do drink blood. And usually they want somebody else's. Now, I don't know if you've watched or not some of the films. That's a mixture of romance and supernaturalism and mysteriousness and revenge and fighting and violence and gore and blood drinking and taking life force. And it's all combined with the sex lust, romance, kissing. Well, it's pretty desensitizing once you've watched it again and again. Something about it, there's something there. Now, I'm going to go over a number of these areas. Maybe 6, maybe 8 points tonight. We'll see how far we get. Listen, you can write in shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and you can put in some questions. Maybe we got a vampire listening tonight, and you want to write in, make a comment. Obviously, if you're listening tonight, there's the Spirit of God that seeks you to draw you out of something, to bring you out. Well, I've seen those who once used to drink blood come away from it. Watched another it's like a video of the one talk show host on television interviewing a vampire. A guy that, has his teeth have all been done and added to, and so he has the fangs. I mean, not real vampire fangs where they literally have holes in them and suck blood right up into his own head or body. But, you know, his teeth are made. It's been, well, it's cosmetic. But he doesn't have any sex, he says. He likes blood, and he's deeply into it all, and it's about energies and taking them. Does he look mysterious like the regular vampire, you know, long, long hair, a long jacket? Kind of like the old days for some of the older listeners, Dark Shadows, Barnabas Collins. It's not that this hadn't been around. It's been around, but it's really making a heyday again. Packed out theaters, early showings, books. And listen, there's a lot of young girls that are absolutely fascinated, engaged, and looking, well, for their vampire, because of the presentation. I was listening to the vampire guy today, and he's like the real thing. He says there's 3 kinds of vampires. There's the blood feeder, sanguinarian, and all he does or she does would be going after, well, drinking of others' blood for the energy that flows with it. There's like a life force. And obviously in the pictures and the concept of Dracula in the past, there's the idea that that's what gives life and life force, and it's necessary to feed. So there's the blood feeder. Number 2 is the psychic vampire, where there's just a transference of energy when the psychic vampire lays their hands on and kind of pulls and draws the energy from another person. Something to that. We'll bring in some suggestion here in a few moments. Number 3, and he said he was the hybrid. They do both. They are a blood feeder. They are also a psychic vampire. They want it. They want the energies either directly in the blood taking or without it. They want that life force. So it's interesting to me. Now listen, as you're listening tonight, maybe again we have some folks that drink blood. Send us a note. Tell us why. We'll without saying any names, we'll put it up tonight, and we will definitely be. I am reading one that has just come in tonight, and I'm taking a look. We're going to see. I'm not going to read this one here. Don't want to do that. So we're going to go on from that message. I'll engage that message a little bit later. I think that it's necessary that I engage. So the one that just sent this one in, I'm going to probably get back with you separately, as I had to do the other night. So I was glad. I started reading one of the emails that just came in, but I noticed that I needed to hold off and email the person direct, and they were glad for that when they wrote me back. So let's talk about it tonight. Vampirism, vamps. Listen, out there, there is one element. Let's talk about one. Number one, the supernatural side. There's no question that there is a supernatural side to this. That there's, well, there's powers. The vampire has greater powers. Well, some of them can fly. Some of them can do all kinds of stuff. And so literally being a vampire, there's being, superhuman. There's maybe a power to mesmerize the victim, to look at them and then you just can't go away. And that's one of the things you're drawn in. They have a power over your mind, a power over your emotions. They can invade your dreams. They can do a lot of things. So the vampire, wow, they've got powers. Number two. And I think this is one of the reasons too. They're very, very mysterious. Some of the older films, Interview with the Vampire, other old movies. I mean, the vampire is very mysterious. Walking around in the old, you know, upper-class-looking tuxedo coats and long coats, and they're in the upper echelon, and they are, you know, by, well, evening, out of the sun, of course, they are around all the other folks, and they're mysterious. The women look at them. And in the movie, they're always the one that, you know, the women are drawn to. Then they kind of spot the one they want. They look at them. They give them that look. Pretty soon, they're going to visit them in the night. They might come, well, as a bat. You know, that's what Dracula used to do. Show up. Well, there's a real sense of them being mysterious. Where they've come from. How long they've been around. Where do they live? What do they know? Why do they act so mysterious? People are drawn into and curious. So as we see the new stuff out there, that's occurring also. When the mere human teenage girl meets the vampire that is mysterious about his past, his family, where he lives, what he does or doesn't eat, and where he's got to go, and his feelings. A lot of emotion in all of it, too. Number three, well, there's something about the fact that it involves living forever. They're immortal. Well, as long as they're going to keep, you know, drinking the blood and doing the stuff, they keep living and living and living and living. And when they bite into another victim, they can help create another, you know, create a little clan of vampires. That's what Underworld was about, and some battles and some crossbreeding and so forth. And it seems as though it has gone pretty modern in the sense of the genetic, empowerment and the bloodline that's involved. But it involves not just the supernatural, number one, not just the mysterious drawing into and even maybe using their vampire qualities to draw folks, women, in. But three, the issue of living forever. The issue of not dying. There's a sense concerning it about defeating death. In some of the vamp shows of the old days, you know, there's vampires that were tired of living. They were tired of living so long. Others that loved the fact that they did. Do they have vulnerabilities? Well, in all the movies, yeah, of course they have vulnerabilities, you know. In the old days, it was garlic. It was, you know, the crosses. It was all kinds of stuff. Some of the new days, vampires, they're showing, oh, they're not afraid of those kind of things any longer. Again, most of it's all just movie in Hollywood. But why the attraction by the millions all over Europe, all over the United States, Canada, Australia? The books are selling literally millions of dollars involved. But living forever. Now, number four is the bloodlust issue. And I'm going to say that in all of this, number one, supernaturalism involved. Number two, a real curiosity-creating mysterious quality. Number three, the living forever, or for many, many years, 400, 500, 900 years, things like that. And number four, rather, is the bloodlust issue. The I must have the blood. The seeing of the blood and the desire for it. Now listen, as I've listened to YouTube videos on, quote, real vampires. I mean, again, people that want to be or say they are and dress it and live it and know the knowledge of it, read the history of it, try to act like it, come out at night only, drink other people's blood. I mean, there's crime cases that really do involve some folks that thought they really were vampires and needed to bite into the other person. And I want you to know that every one of these qualities I'm going to go over has a clear demonic identification. Like number one, the idea of supernaturalism. They got supernatural strength, supernatural abilities. Well, that's look at Mark chapter 5. You got the demonized man that was superhuman strength. No doubt about that. There are those that simply want the spiritual stuff to get the abilities. They want to read people's minds. They want to look into the other side. They want the ability to predict. They want superhuman abilities. And it's clear the demonic realm can grant, even bringing counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, counterfeit to all that God has done in Christ. The mysterious, the curiosity issue is, yeah, there is this quality. I literally go back to Genesis 3 when the fallen cherub, you know, masqueraded, looked like something very beautiful. And obviously at the first, Eve was not afraid of the sight of the thing. He was a shining one. And in the engagement and in the discussion, eventually when she began to open up to the idea of rejecting God and accepting a new one, it was pleasing. It seemed good. There was an emotional energizing. There was an emotional, there was something that all of a sudden desire. There was some kind of maybe energy presence that as she opened up to the words and opened up to more and more and weakened her faith in the Word of God and in and what God had spoken. She knew that part, but she engaged. She didn't. Humanity didn't stand the ground. Instead, there was an exchange. Now, it was all a lie. The mysterious, well, appearance, approach. Did the fallen cherub know what he wanted? Yes. Is it true that in the concept of, well, I'm just saying the demonic in people, moving serial rapists, serial murderers, those who have a violent lust, bloodlust, even underground Satanists? I mean, look at the ritual calendar. The combination of the supernatural, the mysterious, the living, heightening living longer, and the bloodlust, it's all there in the ritual too. It's all there in the concept of transference of energy and taking energies and the raising of energies. It's pretty scary to see some of the old movies where the vampires were, you know, mesmerizing their victims. They couldn't move. They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't run. They couldn't scream anymore. And they were just literally went limp as the predator vampire preyed upon them, bit into them. I mean, let's really think in terms of, because the movies today are combining acceptability of a bloodlusting crime. We've got everything involved here. We've got kidnap. We've got crime. We've got violation. We've got assault. We've got all of these things that are involved that are wicked, that are evil, that are wrong. And then the new stuff plays in with it a really strong role of romance, sexuality, and relational complexity. so that in the evil side of this, because nobody's really in all the movies saying where the powers are coming from, where does the supernatural strength come from, where does the longevity come from, where does their abilities come from, how come they can jump so far, how come they can be so quick, how come their eyes go like that and mesmerize? And when they get into their ferocious, bloodlusting, gory, you know, stuff, the next moment they could be making out and moving into, you know, some sexual passion. Even in the sense of, well, heterosexual, gay, it's all in there now. And so the drawing into this wicked, into this evil, is sex sells. Sex draws. A recruiter of a local smaller satanic coven comes and gets a boy, brings him to a club meeting. They're given all the, you know, heavy metal music that would involve satanic occult themes. They were given all the drugs and alcohol and girls. One of the Satanists we dealt with that was actually attending a local church, whose Book of Shadows described how they wanted to bring down the pastor and his wife and kill them. This is the one that had War on the Saints tattooed on her left wrist. In her confession, when at one point she was deciding to get away from it and get out of it, she said that she was there to engage the teenagers in the church youth group. And then little by little, you know, prey upon them, invite them. Her goal was to recruit kids in a church youth group out of it and into Satanism using, well, powers, but also sex. Oh, that's right. Absolutely. A 21-year-old girl offering sex to, you know, 16-year-old boys, 17-year-old boys. Same thing with a guy in the sense of recruiting off-the-street girls. I mean, sex, there's a big issue here. There's a big power. There's a big level of using that in the context of occultism. Look at Aleister Crowley. Look at Jack Parsons. Look at some of the deep occultism and the sexual nature. Look at the satanic rituals on the calendar. Satanists, I don't know if they can be honest or not, real ones, concerning not just their bloodlust, energy lust, because of the demons, but the sexual, predatory nature. Number four, we're dealing with bloodlust. What's in the blood? Why does it taste? One vampire talks about how some people's blood tastes different. Some have more iron in it. Numerous other things concerning it. A connoisseur of blood, human blood. And the drinking of it, they get a high off of it. It's almost like they're explaining in their videos and explaining in the discussions. It's almost like a sexual thing. It's almost like just getting high and getting off on drinking another human person's blood. Now, it can't be old blood, cold blood, dried out blood. It's got to be fresh, right out of the veins. Kid you not, listen, this is a growing, I mean, there's vampire clubs maybe in your area, maybe in your city. There is in the city next to me. There are vampire individuals that claim to be them in our city. There are girls that, well, they want the guys to act like it, be like it, just like the movies. Although it never is. It never really is. It becomes kind of an occult fantasy. Kind of an occult sexual romantic fantasy. And you lose yourself. And all the while, the bloodlust, the romantic and sexual lust, the relationship lust, all of that is engaged while blinded to what the dark spirits are drawing a person into. Number one, supernatural. Number two, mysterious. Number three, The idea of living forever, immortality, defeating death. Number four, the bloodlust because of, the energy, what you get from it. The idea, listen, have you ever thought of it this way? I mean, really the kind of psychology of it. The taking of someone else's blood. Number five, the idea of feeding off other humans. How is that not demonic ideology, desire? How is it not? I mean, the idea of feeding off others. I mean, if it's a real kind of vampire going and taking anybody, because you've got supernatural powers, you've got the ability to mesmerize, you've got the ability to put them out, take them over. They can't run from you. They can't hide from you. You can get into their room. You can appear. You can get them, bite into their neck eventually, and begin to drain them. And that's not rape. That's not homicide. That's not... kidnap, that's not mind control, that's not soul control. It's got all those elements. All for the benefit of the vampire. All for the benefit of being more supernatural, being more mysterious, living on forever. How can the vampire do it? Feeding off other human beings. And in light of this, you're going to find this out if you engage people that want to be vampires, claim to be vampires. Even the movies do this. Vampires are above humanity. Humans are like cattle. Humans are just the, they're just breeders, and they're just there like the cattle that people feed on. How's that any different than a person eating hamburger meat or you know, there's blood in a steak, a rare steak, blood. And so humans do it to animals, and so vampires can do it to humans, because humans in the vampire view, in the superior view, well, they're just mere, meager humans. Once again, the occult theme in the exalting of self above humanity, looking down then on humans in, despising them. These aren't the beings created by God, valuable. These are not the ones that once were created to be eternal, majestic, and in the Imago Dei, the image of God. These aren't the ones. I mean, humans. See, there's no understanding here that God so loves and so values humanity. In spite of the sin, in spite of the wickedness, in spite of the evil, God so loved the world. Monogenesis, the one and only, the only begotten of God, the only one of a kind, would come and give his life, shed blood, not take it. You get the idea here? Come on, to the vampires listening, to the vampires caught in to the romance and the sex and the bloodlust and the relational lust. Come on. There's Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The value of humanity is that God, the sinless Son of God, on the cross giving his life because he loves us, because he wants to redeem us, because he wants to fix the dead barrier between us and God. He wants to fix the dead zone, that dead spirit before God, that death that's coming, that hell that's coming. God comes to the cross to redeem broken, fallen humanity. And God doesn't say, give me your blood. God doesn't mesmerize, mind control you, take you over, hunt you down, nor even against your will save you. On the cross, his blood is shed, sinless, powerful. The demons know. Oh, the demons know. They understand the blood of Christ. Any Satanist listening, anybody that has demons in or on them, without question, we say the name Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu. We say the blood of Christ and the cross. Well, that literally bugs these spirits. That function in the context of vampirism. Oh, demons are all over it. From beginning to end, demons are all over. The whole concept. You can call it vampirism if you want to, but it has every element of demonic inception, evolution, and use. Who is supernatural? The demons. Who are mysterious and cause curiosity and draw people in? Demons. Who, they live forever. Not in heaven, of course, but they don't die. Demons don't die. You can get rid of them, but they don't die. Who has a bloodlust like anybody, like no one? Listen, demons. Why do you think they call for it among all the Satanists? Why do you think they desire it and lead people to actually steal children and convince even moms and dads like Manasseh in the Old Testament it's okay to take your child? Convince the Mayans to do it by the thousands, human sacrifice, blood lust, blood gore, guts burning, melting, destroying of humans. So number five deals with the fact that this whole concept with its bloodlust, with its romance, with its sexual arousal, let me tell you something. It desensitizes, and those caught into the trap of this demon inception, evolution, energy, feeling, masquerade, it all leads to the desecration of other humans, the devaluing of other humans. Oh, they can have the blood sucked out of their neck and thrown to the ground. You know how all the movies are, suck all the blood out, and the human literally goes cold, looks like they're aged 100 years and die on the spot. They're just left there to rot and become a skeleton. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, that's all. Where do you see the vampire that cares for the dead? Oh, the half-crossover angel. You know, there's those that, the vamps that want, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Again, we're talking about the movies. I mean, there's an element where there is the idea that, well, hey, ultimately, this is evil. You know, go to the clubs, you know, it's like going to the clubs and you're drinking what looks like blood and you're going to the secret meetings afterwards where you're invited. You bring your vial of blood, you exchange, you drink, you cut yourself, you feed off other humans. Hey, there are serial murderers that fed off the blood, drank the blood. Oh, gosh, in ancient religions, man-made, demon-inspired religions, Africa, South America, the Mayans, oh, yeah. Drink the blood right out of the skull. The Satanist in the underground, drink it while it's hot. Just telling the truth. Telling the absolute truth. I'm wondering whether there's a teenage girl, or maybe a college-age girl, maybe a lady involved in the, the romance of it. Has it desensitized you to the fact that it involves the idea of supernaturally getting a hold of somebody, controlling them, taking, sometimes gorily, just ripping them to shreds, taking them? The devaluing of the human being. You see, as the constitutional lawyer years ago, I read what he said in his book, The End of Man, that mankind is not just a skeleton with meat thrown on it as human beings created in the image of God. Now you say, well, why is the world like it is? Why is the world all messed up? Why is the world fighting and killing and raping and doing all the crazy stuff? Why are the crazy vampire, you know, craze right now? Well, let me tell you something. Fallen world, we have lost our senses, lost our majesty. If you're lost, you're without the Spirit of God inside of you. You've got a sin code inside, a death code inside. You are hell bound. That's just the bottom line. What are you going to do about it? Drink somebody's blood, try to live forever? Live in a casket, get up, mesmerize people, suck their blood and let them die on the streets? Worry if you're gonna run out of humans? What if you don't have any more humans to drink blood from? Then what do? It reminds me a little bit of the ancient Nephilim that might not be so ancient, that may be on the earth today. anything that feeds off of humans, leading humanity to give up their children or their own lives in a gory, sacrificial way, giving their blood, appeasing the spirits, giving off, well, the demonic, grabbing their human energies, coming through the gateway created. Did you know that this kind of taking of a human life, raising the human energies, spilling the blood is one of the number one gateways that allow demons to cross over? That's right. Number six, especially with the craze that's going on right now. But it's always seemed, even in the old vampire movies, you know, the idea, well, there's some kind of mysterious, overwhelming, passionate, romantic, complex, lusting relationship. In the context of Twilight and the Vampire Diaries and all the rest, haven't you noticed that it's not sex between two people that are married, that love each other, that care, that can have all the wonderful sex they want to have. It's about just anything, anybody, anywhere, any place, taking it. It's about taking the blood and taking the sex at the same time, right there in a vampire movie, and that being what a satanic ritual is all about. Rituals that involve a, listen, I don't have time tonight, but dealing with sex magic, psychic sex, the energies involved, the spirits that come, the transference of the demonic. It is very possible that somebody that has a bloodlust that's been involved in this that may be demonized, and they come after you and you start getting into relationships, they can transfer demonic presence through a sexual act, through bloodletting and drinking. Demonic presence can hang on live human blood for a little while. That's why charged blood is drunk in the rituals. Got a bloodlust? Is it you, or is it a demonic presence on or in you? Do you know the difference? I would ask in the name of Jesus, by his authority, for you to know the difference. I would ask the Lord Jesus to bring exposure and light to you, to open your eyes to the destruction, devaluation of humanity, to the desensitizing that has been going on. Open your eyes, look at the cross. God on the cross shed his blood, holy, sinless blood, willingly, not under mind control, not under being mesmerized, not of being under somebody else's supernatural powers, but of himself. He gave it to totally cleanse you, to break the barrier, so that the very living presence of God can come into you. So that every sin and every filthy thing and every ugly thing we have done as humans can be totally, actually cleansed. There's no cleansing in vampire bloodletting and drinking and sharing. Only dirtying. The sins pile up. The doorway is for the demons open broader. The desensitizing continues. The desire to draw others in so you can have their blood, you can have their bodies. And literally make you very, very evil. I mean, it involves also revenge. Oh, vampires gone wild, man. They can rip some human piece, you know, they can rip them apart. Gory. Is that what anyone listening right now wants to be a part of? What about believers that know that you got to do something? I don't know how many's written me concerning, what do I do? My 12-year-old, 13-year-old daughter is into reading this and seeing this. They are drawn in purposely by the sexual, romantic, arousal nature of complex relationships. Oh, listen, notice in the Vampire Twilight and all the new movies, it's not some, well, unattractive or ugly or someone that, I mean, we're dealing with using what would seem to be Hollywood magazine-oriented attractiveness, sexual attractiveness, and the mysterious nature, the supernatural nature, the emotional intensity, the romantic embrace, the kiss, but it's all acceptable. You know, all of the blood drinking and biting and killing and taking of other humans' lives, well, it fades under the desensitizing of dark presence, dark ideology. I really do. I think there are those that are involved. They have to go through deliverance. Sitting in my office, well, a victim of Satanism sitting there, demon comes up. The psychologist that brought the girl is sitting right next to her. When I commanded, the demon did name itself, and I said, we're going to, you know, kick you out, cast you out. And before I could say, in the name of Jesus, before I can order it to get out, it reached over, grabbed the psychologist's arm, and came 2 inches away from biting into the arm, drawing blood so that the demon inside of the victim could go into the blood that was just drawn of the psychologist. It happened right in front of 6 of us sitting there. And as it was doing it, it was instantaneous. It was so quick, but quickly, stop it in the name of Jesus. Get out. And of course, we kicked Stario out of this person. The psychologist was, taken off guard, shocked, frightened. Do you understand the nature of the dark side? That it's expert in seduction. In a predatory sense, the expert nature of the demonic, operative without human or operative through human, looking for vulnerabilities, looking for what it is a human longs for, trying to bring an offering, trying to bring... Didn't Satan do this to Jesus in Matthew 4? All the kingdoms of the world. I mean, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to be the one ruling in the millennium. And yet Satan's here to be predator on that very concept. And in a counterfeit way, offer him, if only Jesus would bow down to Satan, offer him all the kingdoms of the world. First of all, we can scream the word liar. Jesus didn't do it, of course. Quoted the word of God, made a stand. Satan was defeated again and again and again. That's what all the Satanists and Luciferians, elitists in Europe, in Italy, they're in the Black Forest of Germany. You need to understand this. There's no question you can get powers, supernatural sense. You can become as mysterious. You can think you're going to live. Come on, you know any real vampire that's 486 years old? You die. I mean, Satan can trick you, lie to you, supercharge you, make you feel certain ways. He can make you feel beyond what heroin can do. And in the end, you still go to hell. Believe the liar, you embrace the liar. In this 1 hour that goes by so quick here on a Thursday night, shatter the darkness live. God bless all those thousands of you in many, many countries of the world. Send us an email once in a while. Let us know where you're listening from. Want you to know the Spirit of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the gift of God, the empowerments of God are all waiting for you who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet. No doubt here I am to share with you my heart's goal, desire, God's desire is for you to come home. Get out of the darkness. Get out of the masquerade. Get out of the seduction. Get out of the... It's like being drugged. In the name of Jesus, get out of it. Call on the name of the living Christ. Receive the real gift of indestructible immortality, forgiveness and washing and cleansing, and empowerments that come from God, the indwelling of the Spirit of the Lord. And know the truth that can set you totally free. Tonight, as we share on this one topic, I know that we're going to see, you know, others write in. And I want to say to the moms and dads and others, you know, you're going to have to engage your children. You're going to have to love them. You're going to have to go after them and reach out to them. You're going to have to do that. I want to say that in this closing few moments of this show tonight that there is really one who seeks your life if you don't know him, wants you more than anyone else. Your life is not devalued. At the cross where Christ gave himself for you, that tells you of the value of your life. Nobody wants you more. Wants you saved, safe, delivered, heaven bound, and knowing God. I pray that you do. If you're a seeker, get into the Gospel of John and read. If you're into the dark stuff, renounce the dark stuff and embrace Christ and his power. Listen, I want to say shatterthedarkness.net has a lot of things on there for you. All free to download. New courses on the Holy Spirit and apologetics up free for anybody that wants it. I also want to tell you tonight that we're going to be on with Tom Horn, Raiders News Network.net. And you can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Look down there where it says Thursday. You can click right on there where it says about the interview coming up in about an hour. And you can join in. It's going to be great, going to be fun, going to be interesting to be interviewed by Tom Horn and to get into some discussion. Shatterthedarkness.net does not have products and commercials and many other things like that, as you've noticed. And the simple thing that we'll say to you for the entire work that we do, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net. Look at the support button if you want to be a part, if you believe all the stuff that is done is beneficial. Well, we can use you as someone who would pray for us. We need that. And consider support. Do not forget the rest of this month, and we're going to do one more show tomorrow. We may be out in Pennsylvania tomorrow night doing the show from there. We're going to see how things work. We've got just kind of a tentative schedule of what the weekend's going to be like. Don't forget Sunday night I speak in Hartville, Ohio. That's listed on the site. Hey, my dear friends, the music is here. I want to say God bless. Love you. Good night.